Father God, we thank you for the word, and we thank you for the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that you anoint me as a vessel, that I will speak as the pen of a ready writer. Father, I thank you that as I yield myself, that you'll think through my mind and speak through my mouth, that I'll be an oracle of God to your people. Father, I thank you that you anoint them to have ears to hear and hearts open to receive what the Spirit of God would say today. Father, I thank you so much for anything that you should do in the service, any way that you will move or manifest yourself to your people today. In Jesus' name, all in agreement with that prayer, say amen. Well, the title of today's message and series that we're starting is Single and Christian. Single and Christian. So if you're here and you're recently single through divorce, or you're single because of someone passed away, or you've never been married at all and you're single, you want to take note of this in case someday, although you may not feel like remarrying now, you might feel differently later. So you want to make sure you have the information, the knowledge, and the wisdom on what you need to look for, because I guarantee you, it is better to be single than be married incorrectly. It is better to be single and free than to be married with a monster. Because marriage is no joke. Like I always say, love may be blind, but marriage will knock your eyes wide open. And there's a lot of folks got married and said, "Pastor, I was blind, but now I see. And I wish I had just a little more time single." And I like to start off with Pastor Butler used to always say to the singles, he said, "You have something married people do not have. As a single individual, you have freedom. You have freedom. We's no longer slaves. We's free." Because when you get married, you're a slave to wedlock. Notice the word lock. You lock in to some things and you lock out of some other stuff. When you single, you free. Roam the country. Get in your car. Go to Paris. When you marry, "Honey, do we have the money?" "No, we ain't got the money, baby. You got to stay home." "Then I want to get me a motorcycle. I'm going to buy me a motorcycle." "You don't need no motorcycle. I need a dishwasher." See, you ain't free. So before you rush to be locked up, you better realize it ain't all that. Let's just say there's pros and cons both ways. But one of the words that's tied to marriage is not the word freedom. That's tied to singleness. You do whatever you want to do with your money. Whenever you want to do it with your money. And you ain't got permission from nobody. You ain't got to check nobody's budget. You do whatever you want to do. When you get married, it's our money. And the man's the head of the relationship, so there's things you got to do if you're a woman. And if you're the man, you can't do what you want to because you got obligations to the family and the kids. That's part of being married. Right now, God, you're single. You do what you want. Single woman, do not be rushing to get married. A few of the married people will tell you, "I'd take a little bit more time a single if I knew." Because so many people who are single in such a rush to get married, and some people married wish they were single again. And that's the reality that's true. Marriage does not solve many of the problems singles think it solves. And they get married for the wrong reason, and then they think that's going to solve the problem. And marriage doesn't solve problems as much as adds new complexities. But marriage is good. I wouldn't put marriage down, but marriage is not single. And it has its pros and its cons. And single is not marriage, and it has its pros and cons. So when you're in these stages of your life, you better enjoy each stage. If you don't learn to be content with such as you have, you won't be content when you get what you think you're chasing. If you don't learn to be content with such as you have, you won't be content when you get what you think you're chasing. Because contentment has nothing to do with what you have. Contentment is, it doesn't matter what I have, I'm content. And if you can't be content as a single person until you get married, marriage is not going to meet whatever that problem is you have, because the problem is you don't think God is enough. Mm-hmm. I got to have me a man. God can be your man. Well, that ain't the same thing. Well, if you're saying you want sex, just say, "I want sex." And sex is no reason to get married. Because when people get married, the sex isn't good when the relationship isn't good. And now you off the field, you can't go find somebody else. You stuck with that dud. That's your dud. He or her, that's your dud. You stuck with it. And the same thing you need to do before you got married is work on your communication skills, your ability to cohabitate with somebody. The same thing you need to do that you're supposed to do while you're single, but you're so busy. "I want to be married. I want to be married. If I get married, it's all going to work out." Look at those people over there. They look happy. Well, you need to check what fertilizer they use in their grass if it looks greener over there, because I can show you a whole lot of folks, and I can show you more that's not happy, and Morta's got divorced, I can show you they got married or happy. I guarantee you I can show you that. Because one stat says as high as 67 to 72% of people who married who they chose to marry are unhappily married or already divorced. Marriage didn't solve the problem. They got married to add more problems, wanted to get out. Marriage will exemplify problems you already have. It's like they say, put the nut under pressure, you see what's in it when it cracks. If you don't know how to walk in love, marriage will reveal that. So you need to learn how to walk in love when you're single, not be wanting to be in love with somebody. So let's take a look. Singles and Christians. Today we're going to work on the top reasons not to get married or the top wrong reasons to get married. You should not get married for these reasons. If these are the reasons if as we go through this, they come up and say, wow, that's why I need to get married. You better trust the word of God. You better trust wisdom and trust folks that have been there. That ain't a reason. And you better have a good reason to get married. Otherwise, you will not have a good marriage. If you get married for the wrong reason, you're going to have the wrong kind of marriage. I promise you that. After 30 years of counseling, folks, I promise you, if you get married for the wrong reasons, you will regret it. I'm not saying you got to break up and fall apart, but I'm saying you're going to have a lot more work than you want it to have. And you'll go from the freedom to immediately saying, this isn't what I thought it was, but now you're locked in it. Wedlock. At that point, it is what it is, and now you got to do what you should have done before, but you got to now do it under the crucible or the pressure of somebody else right there in your face. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing worse than you wake up in the morning to the person you thought was going to bring you all this joy, to only find out they can't bring you joy. If you don't know how to get your joy, another person can't bring you that. They can do some things every now and then and be a circus clown and entertain you, and you'd be happy for a minute. But as soon as they walk somewhere else, you're unhappy again. Because nobody can make an unhappy person happy but the unhappy person. And if you grab somebody to complete you because you're not fulfilled, I always tell people, do not be looking for your better half. If somebody came to me and said, oh, you're my better half, I'd be like, don't be putting that pressure on me. You better be whole before you come this way. Amen. Do not be putting that kind of pressure on me. I'm whole. You ain't my better half. Right. So I don't want to be your better half. I ain't trying to have half or nothing. Because I tell folks, if you get two better halves and it's two people in a relationship, you still a whole person short. Two people in a relationship, that's one half, that's the other half. Hey, we need two wholes. That way we can love one another. And out of the abundance of our wholeness, we can enjoy one another's fellowship and enjoy one another's company. Not like, where you been? Where you at? Why you was gone so long? Who was that I saw at the car? That was the mailman. He stopped to give me a package. Well, why give it to you? Why didn't he bring it to the door? I don't know. Ask him. I don't think you should be talking to other people. I go outside the house. I have to talk to people sometimes. Well, I don't like it. Well, that's your problem. That's the kind of stuff you deal with when you married. If you marry wrong and you get married to some insecure person, you're going to deal with their insecurities because they're so close in your life, it affects you. Don't matter if they saved or not, they ain't mature. A fruit is a fruit, but you only want to eat it when it's ripe. A Christian's a Christian, but you don't want to marry it till it's ripe because it'll be a mess. And you rush into that because you don't want to take time to say, I'll be married now has two whole people who are coming together to join our life and enjoy one another and to be positive together and to be fruitful together. That's going to be good. And that's what people think they want, but they don't want to wait for what that takes or want to study to know what that takes. So they just rush off to have sex or whatever it is they're chasing. We're going to look at some of those things why they rushed off and chased it. And these are not the reasons to get married. So let's look at the first one here. The first one is love at first sight. Do not get married because you fell in love at the first sight. Oh, man, you know, it's like I was believing God. And, you know, I was believing God for this woman. And I was like, I saw her and I just knew that God put us together. It's divinely ordained. That guy is just so nice. He's everything I wanted. I tell you, people come in for premarital counseling and I may ask them the question, give me five things you absolutely hate about that other person. Oh, Pastor Cook, ain't nothing I don't like God. Get out my office, you crazy thing, you. You ain't dead. You don't even know that. Don't not tell me you done brought Jesus up in here. You ain't about to marry nobody perfect, and you ain't dated him long enough to know what you don't like. I guarantee you're going to find out what you don't like, and you should find it out before you say I do, because once you say I do, you did. You better find that out before you say I do. Because I have them coming in there for not premarital counseling, but marital counseling. Pastor Cook, he this, and Pastor Cook, and she that. And they was that when you dated them. But they was hiding it from me. No, your eyes was blind. And you supposed to date folks long enough that they can't hide. Folks can't hide forever. In America, folks so immature, I might have to raise it higher, but I'm going to stay with the old number. You need to date people at least 2 years. Don't mean to talk about marrying none of these American folk unless you date them 2 years. And that's 2 years communicatively. Not just going to the movies, watching, oh, that was a good movie. Not just going to amusement park. Wee! Woo! Ah! That ride was fun. I'm talking like, what? Who are you? I need somebody who know who they are. And that's the problem. Folks don't know who they are. When they don't know who they are, they don't know what they want. So they just try you on for 5 or 6 years. Yeah. Then they want to try somebody else on, and you stuck in the wreckage and the carnage and the emotional pain that's left behind somebody who thought they would love you forever, promised to love you forever. And they like, I love you till I don't want to anymore. They walk off, bam, divorced. And then go on to somebody else and still don't figure out who they are. Love at first sight is crazy. It's a lie. I don't care if you met somebody in the stars and you heard music and angels appeared playing and you had an open vision and 3 testimonies from a prophet at the church. Love at first sight does not exist. Lust at first sight exists. Infatuation at first sight exists. Man, you look and you hear his voice and you see him in charge up there. You're like, dang, you know, it's like, that's the man I want. Or she walk and you just catch a curve of her body like, that body's made by Fisher. But that mind might be made by Mattel. How many people remember Mattel Toy Company? Yeah, hey, you can see that body. If you get married off that body and you got to live with that mind, you'd be like, I had a friend of mine and she was dating this guy and she liked the guy and all. And she said, Robert, I like him, but he's so stupid. She said that to me. She said that. I was like, now, she was thinking about marrying him because, you know, I've been on the field for a while and he's a nice guy and all that. But she's like, but he's so dumb. He's so stupid. She didn't marry him. I'm sure she's glad she didn't. Because how are you going to be married to somebody you think is dumb and stupid?
That's right.
Some folks have jumped out the skillet into the fire. Because they just, I can't take it no more. I can't take this thing. I can't take it. I'm just jumping into marriage. And then they're like, I'm burning. Oh, it's hot. It's hot. Uh-huh. See, you jumped out the skillet into the fire. If you can't be whole and God is not enough, nobody will be enough for you. Don't believe the lie because the devil will keep complicating your life. He'll bring in marriage. He'll bring in kids. He'll keep complicating your life. Well, we're going to stay together if we just have another child. Because last time we had a baby, we were so happy. And we about to break up. Let's have another baby. You just stacking on top of the problem. Your joy comes from the Lord. Your joy comes from within you. If you can't get joy, if you can't be happy all by yourself, if you can't have joy all by yourself, you can't put that pressure on nobody else and expect that they wake up in the morning to make you happy and to bring you joy. People come in saying, he don't make me happy no more. Well, what makes you think it's his job to make you happy? I mean, I've married people and never said, and you promised to make her happy for all the days of her life. There's nowhere in there. When I read in the Bible and you promise that she will make you happy, there's nowhere in there. You can be as happy as you choose to be based on what you do that makes you happy. Go do something that makes you happy. You'll be happy. If you wait on other people, I want you to do something that makes me happy. Well, they're doing what makes them happy. But you're supposed to do what makes me happy. What Bible say that? Thou shalt make thy spouse happy. That's not in there. But how many people all caught up on happy? I say, you can be happy whenever you want. Do something that makes you happy. You'll be happy. Do something that gives you joy. You have joy. Don't pressure other people to entertain you. Nobody wants to be your monkey on the string. But when you talk about love at first sight, what you're saying is, I see what I like. I'm happy. But you're still looking at somebody else. They're saying they're happy. That's why when you see who they really are and they're not Jesus, they're not perfect as you think they are, all of a sudden you say, they don't make me happy. They never made you happy. You looked, thought, felt, interpreted, that makes me happy. And said, I want to marry you. You make me happy. Then you go and marry them and see who they are and how they are on your love at first sight. And you just didn't check anything. You threw all that out the window. I'm in love, Pastor Cook. L-U-V-V-V. I'm in love. And then your eyes open up while you were blind, but now you see. And you ain't happy no more. And you think it's their fault that you're not happy. It's not their fault you're not happy. It's not their responsibility to make you happy. It'd be nice if people know how to happy, make you happy, but I guarantee you they won't always know. I've known people that would buy a present for their girlfriend, and she was so happy and appreciative. You get married, you buy one, you did the same thing, but she ain't happy now. And a guy's thinking like, I thought that made you happy. And she looking at you like, no, try again. You know what guys gonna do? What most guys do. I'm tired of trying. You too much work. You high maintenance, baby. I ain't gonna worry about it. Never should have started. It ain't my job to make my wife happy. I would like to do things to please her, but I'm not accepting responsibility. And she'll tell you, he ain't trying to make me happy. Even sometimes to her chagrin, he ain't trying to make me happy. I said, I'm not trying to make her unhappy. Don't get me wrong. I'm trying to love her. I look at what love is. Look, when you're hurting, I'm there for you. If you need me, I'm there for you. But I can't do all the entertaining thing. If you tell me it's something I do, I'll go do it. But you might have to tell me. You might have to say, you know what? I would like a strawberry fudge with whipped cream on top today. And if I'm out, I can get you one. I might even go out and get you one. But don't think I'm going to just pop up out of nowhere and say, bam, Prince Charming brought my strawberry. I didn't know. Men read newspapers, not mines. I don't know. And some people think that's what marriage is, and they want to hurry up and get into that where they've got somebody that's going to make them happy because they don't know how to be happy or have joy by themselves. So they said, if I get married, I'll always be. Because when I look at him or her, the way they make me feel is always going to be like that. How many people know you don't always look at your spouse the way you looked at them when you was dating? Especially if you got, hey, y'all better put your hand down. Your spouse sitting next to you. Some people go on like, over here, Pastor Gump. Don't get yourself in trouble now. Don't get yourself in trouble now. Be careful now. Love at first sight is not real, folks. It's a trap of the devil. It's a trap of lust. Now, I know attraction at first sight is good. And I know lust at first sight. I know infatuation. You know, I'm not denying the feeling you have. I'm saying we walk by faith, not by feelings. We walk by faith in the truth of the word of God, wisdom, and knowledge. We don't walk by what we feel because Satan has access to our feelings. He can make us feel that the devil will be a good mate. He can make you feel. He could have sent somebody he knows is riding to the core. Player, player. He could have sent him over there. He got the hair cut all sharp. He just got everything. He know the words, baby, you know, I just can't live without you. Girl, I was waiting all my life for you. You look so good. Mm. I mean, and you just like, oh. And you just all giddy. And then you feel everything because he know how to play you. The devil is good. He knows how to play you. Next thing you know, he go buy you a happy meal. And it's like there's kids in the room, so I got to be careful. Let's just leave it alone. It ain't all adults in here like it usually is. But let's just say that's the secret to you opening yourself up. And you was Christian and saved and was waiting for a godly man, and this devil by your happy meal is like you on a spring. What happened to all that? Is that man leading you closer to Jesus? Is he getting you closer to God? Babies popping up like toast out of toaster, just all kind of stuff, and still ain't married. Now, I'm not picking on you. I'm saying God wanted to protect you from those situations because all those guys that say they wanted you don't marry you. But if you're in so much need of a man's touch that you let a man touch you and you end up in that situation, God was trying to protect you from that. There's no love without commitment, and it takes time to know somebody before you commit to them, because no fool would commit to somebody they don't know. But if you commit to the feeling you have, you will begin to act like you committed, the person is committed to you. But you may be the only one in that relationship that's committed. They might have very little commitment. They might be just putting another notch on their belt. But all the time, you felt good until you felt bad. That's why you don't pay attention to feelings. You pay attention to walking in wisdom. Wisdom is ain't no love at first sight. I see you. I like you. I'm infatuated with you. That's the beginning of what can be love. But let's just walk this road and you keep your distance. Don't be touching. Keep your hands to yourself. And let's just see while I'm checking you out if you're worthy of all this. Instead of like, I'm yours. I feel so good. That girl makes me feel so good. Girl, I want to marry you. I want to put a ring on it. I wouldn't put no ring on no girl I don't know. Trying to take her off the market. You stay on the market because every pretty looking car doesn't have a good engine in it. So I ain't trying to say, hey, here, down payment real quick. No, I ain't trying to put no earnest money on it because I ain't earnest about it. Man, I don't know about that. Let me check it out. Let me drive around the block a few times. Let me see. Oh, no. The horn don't work. The engine is going clickety, clangety, clangety. But it sure did look good on the outside. Why would I want to overinvest myself in something I don't know? And that's what dating is about. I want to get to know you. I did not fall in love with you at first sight because love takes time to build. Love is a commitment. People who get caught on this love at first sight, they'll say things like, I want that girl or that guy. Maybe girls sitting together and they see the jock walk by and they're like, oh, he's so fine, girl. I want him. Because see, love doesn't want. Love commits to, but infatuation wants. I want to possess them. I want them to be mine. I want to put a ring on that. That's not what it's supposed to be. That's that love at first sight. That's not love. That's lust at first sight. That's infatuation. Now, that person might be the devil incarnate for all you know, because you don't know them. You just like the curly hair. Or you like the sound of her voice. Or you like the curve of her body. But that could be the devil dressed up. That could be the devil with a weave on. You don't know. But you in love? You don't even know this person. Stop and think about it. I'm in love at first sight. You don't know them. And you're obviously admitting, yes, I walk by sight, not by faith. Mm-hmm. You in love at first sight? Love doesn't go by no first sight. And you got to be walking by sight to be talking about, you know, yeah, you see what you like. But every girl I think is beautiful was not worthy of me marrying. Every guy that you think is handsome or got money or got whatever you think you want is not worthy of you marrying them.
That's true.
And don't ever let the devil make you think, I better grab this one because there's not another one. There's always another one.
That's right.
They've been born every day. They're making new ones. You know how many people in the world you've never met? All of them you've never met. And that's a whole lot of them.
That's true.
And you know there ain't no one out there? Very seldom. Next to never did God ordain two people are the only two people can be together. Because what if they accidentally marry somebody else before they meet you? Oop, yours gone. You out. No, God's got backups. There's all kinds of people you can marry. There's many men are totally compatible with you. Many women are totally compatible. And you got to pick from all those one. But there's a lot of snakes in the grass out there, too. And you got to know by the word of God and by the spirit of God how to discern. And don't get caught by that devil's trap of, oh, wow, look at him. Look at her. That's the one. What one? This ain't the Matrix. What one are you talking about? The one. The one for me. What? It's not, what one is for you? Most people, there's no one. I thought there was one. When I met Miss Cook and, you know, I'm going to Bible school. I said, look, we dated 4 years already. And I'm going to Bible school for a year. We get married next year. And I'm praying to the Lord. And, you know, I was thinking, oh, yeah, God put us together divinely. It's so beautiful. I'm feeling what I'm feeling. And she the one and all that. We're going through all the wisdom and stuff. But I'm like, oh, yeah, I felt God had put us together. And I was talking to the Lord once in prayer. I had an open vision of heaven. I'm sitting there in the presence of God. And I'm praying. And I talked to the Lord. I said, Lord, you know, I'm dating Helen. And you know, my heart is yours. I want to do whatever you want me to do in ministry. Go where you want me to go. And I got to ask you a question. You know, should I marry her? And he said, there are many you can marry. But if you marry her, she'll be a blessing to you. And that was the first time I realized she wasn't just the one. God didn't say, I put you all together as one. He said, there are many out there you can marry, but if you marry her, she'll be a blessing. Now, of course, I'm in for a blessing. So I didn't have no problem with that. It ain't like God said, get rid of her, nothing like that. But that was the first time I realized what I was thinking, that God put us together and she's the one. And he said, no, he pretty much telling me, like, get off, don't go crazy on me. It ain't all that. There's many out there, but if you marry her, she'll be a blessing to you. And I was just thinking the other day what a blessing she's been to me. I'm able to do what I do in ministry because of her. She helps me a lot in ministry. Even stuff in the church. She'd be, don't forget to say that, so-and-so, this, that, and other, because I'm busy doing something else. She's a help me. She blesses me. God says she'd be a blessing. I was just thinking the other day. I went like, Lord, you know what? I was talking to the Lord the other day. And I said, Lord, you know what? She has been a blessing to me. Amen. And I said, I thank God for that. Amen. I thank God for that. But I was previously thinking she was the one. God said there's many ones. So I said, that's even more special. Of all the possible ones out there, I chose her. That's my baby. But this love at first sight that I thought it was, it ain't all that, because that doesn't exist. So if the devil trying to play that trick on you, they play it on me, keeping it neutral. Stay observant. Don't put it in high gear and rush right into marriage. Don't do that, because you'll be sorry. Let's take a look at the next slide there, and we're going to contrast love versus lust. Love is a commitment. It's a choice. I choose. Do you take this person to be your lawfully wedded wife and or husband to death do you part? I ain't asking you what you feel about it. We here at a marriage ceremony. I don't ask nobody, what do you feel about them? Do you feel you're going to honor and worship? Do you feel you're going to stay with them? Ain't nobody care about what you feel. The question is, do you commit to honor and to cherish this person till death do you part? Are you willing to make that choice? Are you willing to make that commitment? Because what we're talking about for you all to stay married is we're talking about love. That's what we're talking about, love. So love is a commitment. It's a choice. Infatuation and lust are emotions. Oh, they make me feel so good, Pastor Cook. When I'm with them, I just feel like there's nobody else for me in the world. You need to step it down a bit. Because that's just infatuation. I know it's a feeling. I'm not saying you don't have that feeling. I'm telling you, don't trust that feeling. Because you don't know them enough to say that, they're going to keep you feeling that way, or what they do and how they act is going to keep you feeling that way. You very well might be creating most of that in your head, and usually you are. Oh, he's handsome. Oh, she's pretty. Oh, I like being with them. My friends always say, man, that girl is fine, man. How'd you get her? Oh, that dude's so handsome. He's a good man. He got a good job. He in college. And that's what you're feeling, is all that. None of that has anything to do with them. You're feeling something from the friends. You're feeling something from where they look. You're feeling something from all the other external things. You're not even paying attention to them. You're paying attention to all this around your relationship with them, how they make you feel when they ain't make you feel nothing. And I'm telling you, when you see who they are, if it's not who you like, you would decide you don't feel that way, and you'll blame them for how they hurt you, and they ain't done nothing to you. You were unfair to them and to yourself. You promised to love them, and now you don't feel the same way, and you take your love. I don't love you anymore. I have people come in counseling. Pastor Cook, I don't love him anymore. Pastor Cook, I don't love her anymore. Well, why you decide to do that? What do you mean decide? Why did you choose not to love them anymore? They didn't make me feel. See, you messed up. You married on the wrong reason. You married on how you felt. They didn't control how you feel. You feel whatever you want to feel based on how you think. People create all this stuff in their head and these unrealistic expectations because they thought it was love at first sight, and they don't even know the person. They are going to have a problem. No way they're not going to have one. Because love, you grow into love. Infatuation, lust, you fall into it. When folks talk about, oh, I saw her when we first fell in love. Explain to me what, now I know what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13 verses 4 through 8 about love, and none of that looks like something you fall into. That don't look like nothing you fall into. Matter of fact, you always point out in 1 Corinthians 13 verses 4 through 8 that love has nothing to do with the other person at all. It never says if they treat me a certain way. It goes on and talks about what love is. Love insists on its own way. It's not self-seeking. It's not vainglorious. It never says anything about the other person at all. So if I say, Helen, I love you. I promise to love and to cherish you all the days of my life. I'm making a decision, and I'm making her a promise that I'm going to love her. I didn't promise nothing about entertaining you and all this other stuff, but I promise I would love you. And this is what the Bible says, love. So when you make a mistake, I'm not going to divorce and run away from you. I'm not going to insist on my own way in any area beyond the Bible. I'm not going to insist on my own way. I want you to hop around on one foot when you cook every day because I think it's funny. I'm not going to insist on anything like that. And she don't want to do that anyway. She ain't trying to be my circus clown either. But I would love you based on what this Bible says of God who created love. That ain't got nothing to do when you read 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8 about any kind of feelings. Nothing to do with that at all. There's nowhere in there as long as you make me feel good till death do us part or I don't no longer feel good. I'm talking about that. That I will promise to do. All that other stuff, maybe, maybe not. I'll have to see how I feel at the time. Because I ain't promising all that. I'm promising this. And when she stood before her and said, I promise to love and honor and respect you, she was using biblical words on love, honor, and respect. She wasn't talking about long as you make me feel happy. Because if she's talking about that, we'd be divorced a long time ago. If she's making me responsible for her feelings or I'm making her responsible for my feelings. See, folks be lying to one another, not paying attention when they get married. And then later when they figure somebody cheated them, you didn't read the contract well. It's not their fault you didn't read the contract or didn't get a lawyer to help you understand the contract. We're talking about biblical love when we talk getting married. And that ain't nothing you fall into, trip into, or slide into. Don't work like that, people. But real love is lasting. I love my wife more today than when I first met her. It wasn't no love at first sight in reality. It was some like at first sight. It was some lust at first sight. She looked good. I felt good looking at her. Yeah, it was some lust. But it wasn't no... No matter what I thought, it wasn't no love at first sight. But I had to date her and talk to her and go to the park and go on walks. Start off in groups, but then just us, as we got closer to maybe consider marrying, I want to talk to you. I want to spend time with you, not just going to the movies, not just being non-communicative, because I want to know who I married. When we did get married and we're at the reception, I said, Helen's going to throw that bouquet right into the ceiling. And they like, she ain't going to do that. Helen threw it right into the ceiling. They said, you know her, don't you? I said, she's all right. Not because she's clumsy or nothing, but I knew that Helen's not going to coordinate that and throw it behind her. Just like she say something like, Robert, don't want that. She'll tell y'all some of the time, Pastor, don't want that, because she knows me. And we can't love one another if we don't know one. It's not picking on one another to say that. If she said, Pastor, don't want that, she ain't trying to get me in trouble or nothing. I'm not trying to get her in trouble. It's just we know each other. And that's because there's no love without knowledge. I love pizza. You know what it tastes like? Nope. Never had one? Nope. Well, how do you love it? You can't love what you don't know.
Exactly.
You meet somebody on the street the first time, talk about, I love that girl. You don't know that girl. You can say, I like the way she looks, but you don't fall in love with somebody's looks. You don't love the way somebody looks. That doesn't make sense. So if you keep the language pure and the words mean something, the meaning will be there. And what you want is a meaningful relationship with a person, a meaningful marriage. But if you don't pay attention to the meaning of the words and you throw stuff out there, it's crazy. Oh, I love them so much. It was love at first sight. No, it wasn't. Ain't no such thing as love at first sight. So don't let the devil lie to you about that. No such thing. Infatuation is temporary. Infatuation starts high and it declines. Love starts low and it increases. The longer you date a person, the more you keep liking them, the more communication you do, love will begin to increase. My wife and I are almost to grandma, granddaddy love. We're almost there, but we can just go sit on the porch and rock and say it's good to have somebody. We're almost at the point where we stop trying to change each other after all these years. You need to be this way. You need to be that way. No, they don't need to be. They need to be just the way God made them. You need to accept them because love doesn't insist on its own way. Love accepts. You need to mature enough that you can accept people that's not like you. You need to mature enough that you can love somebody that doesn't think and act when you act. You love them for who they are as they are. Not they have to be this. Then I'll love them or I'm going to take my love back. See, grandma and granddaddy get it. It's good to have somebody. They ain't fighting no more. They just sitting on the porch, man, you know. Granddaddy, how you stay with grandma? She crazy. But she my kind of crazy. That woman been with me for years. That's a good woman. So even though she crazy, granddaddy say, but she my kind of crazy. When granddaddy was young, like, girl, you need to change. You're crazy. And she was like, how you stay with granddaddy? Granddaddy so want everything his way. Granddaddy like that. You know what? Your granddaddy is a good man. Your granddaddy has laid it down for this family. Your granddaddy ain't perfect, but I ain't perfect either. But I love that man. He's been good to me. And the young people just looking like, I wouldn't want to be nobody like that. That's why you won't make it that long. Grandma and granddaddy have learned the secret. Stop trying to change folk. The only person you can change is you. And if you got a problem, it's your problem. Change it. Stop expecting other people to fix your problem. Your problem is you. the way you think, the way you feel. Other people don't control that. As long as you're projecting that other people, you're not going to reach granddad. You can't love at all when you're still insisting on your way and somebody be it, do it, think it, say it the way you say it, do it and think it where you don't have authority. God did not give you authority over the person next to you, and you get to take his clay and mold it the way you want it. God shapes it the way he wants to, and as they yield to the shaping of God, if what you think they should be is not what God said they should be, you ain't going to like it anyway. What is a Christian woman? That's what I want. If my wife is that, I have no problem because she's that. I don't try and shape her into things I want on the outside of that. You have to stay within what marriage is. And when you're dating, you have to realize, I'm going into marriage. What kind of person do I need? What traits do they need to have for me to marry them and be happily married? Love is lasting. Infatuation is temporary. In love with the person versus being in love with being in love. Love is not, I'm in love with being in love. And a lot of young girls who have read romance novels and they romanticize relationships, they're like, I just want somebody to see what they're talking about ain't real. I want somebody that's going to make me feel good about myself at all times. Because, see, they're caught up with the romance. They read that novel, and that novel always highlights in that point, he knew what I wanted before I even spoke it. He touched me and caressed me, and I shivered. That dude's going to be like, baby, could you go get me some dinner? You're going to be like, he got to wash these dirty drawers. What's that man doing? Getting washing the nasty clothes. That, they don't ever put that in the romance novels. Why? Because that ain't romantic. But that's most of life. How many women got married and don't see laundry and don't see the guy? Why are you peeing on the toilet seat? Well, you know, that they never in the romance novels. But that's in real life. What's wrong with that nasty rascal? Pick them socks up. I ain't your mama. That ain't never in the romance novel. And he left his nasty socks around and you joyfully picked them up. That's never in there. Most of life is outside of those moments of the world. So if you read that stuff, you get a demented, twisted. But you get married thinking that's it. The Prince Charming is going to deliver you from dishes and housekeeping. So when you get caught in this crazy thing, you fall in love at first sight. Oh, this, that, and the other. And you feeling and thinking and you're in love with being in love. And that concept of being in love was made by Hollywood. Marriage is beautiful, but it's not that Hollywood image. Every time you come home, oh my gosh, I'm so good to be home. You're so wonderful. You're so lovely. That's after you have matured spiritually and she is matured spiritually and you don't hold the things that you don't like against them. You're just like, all you see is the good. It's like when you were dating, you're blind to all their faults. You just see the good. But marriage has a tendency when people get married, okay, you're okay, except you need to change this, this, and this, then you'd be perfect. And then you start changing people and they feel non-acceptance. And you don't realize you're ministering non-acceptance. Before, you were just like, you're wonderful because she get it all together for the 2-3 days a week you're going to be on a date, but you don't see her the rest of the time. You don't see her when she take that hair off and drop it on the bed. And you're like, gosh, I used to run my, that wasn't your hair I was running my fingers through. Baby, I ain't feel a thing you was doing. I didn't, nothing you was doing. Baby, you know, I like your hair. You want to make it short? Oh, I got a short one too if you want to get that one. Put it. Well, you know, you start finding out stuff, you know. Be like, hold up, I thought that was real. So, you know, realize that if that's the kind of stuff that's important to you, you can easily be unhappy. If you love the person, not in love with being in love with what you think and the picture you made of a person, or being in love with this fantasy you made up in your mind, oh, yeah, he's going to be like this and she's going to be like that. And I'm married because kids, you know, women have a problem when the girls are playing dolls and they get Barbie and they get Ken. But Ken never has a brain. When the girl, Ken just does whatever Barbie say. Be like, and Ken, could you go take the garbage out? And Ken just, she just walk Ken out, take the garbage out. You tell your husband, go do something. Like, nah, I ain't doing that, baby. Later. But hold up, Ken, you ain't doing right. Baby, you ain't pulling my strings. I ain't playing Barbie dolls with you. I ain't going to do that right now. Well, you need to go and fix the sink right after the game go off. But the water's running now. It'll still be running when the game's over with. I get it in, baby. Just put a bucket next to it. We'd be all right. Ken never said that when you played dolls, did he? You tell Ken to go do it, and you pick him up and take his little legs, and he walk over there, and he do whatever Barbie told him to do. See, that's fake. That's fake. That'll mess your marriage up. That'll mess you up. We didn't read our kids some nursery rhymes. Don't worry, Cinderella. No, don't be reading no Cinderella to her, brainwashing her. No, because when she get married, she ain't got princely money. She gonna be some of the servant herself. And he going to be some of the servant. They used to line them nursery rhymes, putting them fake ideals in their head. And if they play Barbie, you just be Barbie. Okay, you don't need no Ken, you just be Barbie. Because that's who you are. You Barbie, you ain't Ken. Somebody else is Ken. Now, you go get next to a boy. When a boy come and take Ken, boom, and he start doing stuff and running all through the house, that's Ken. That's Ken. See, you let a boy come play the role of Ken, you grow up differently. Because Ken don't pay attention. He don't cooperate. He don't do everything Bobby say do. That's more like real life. Because he may be thinking, you're going to adapt yourself to me. You're going to adjust yourself to me. The Bible says, not good to man be alone. I'll make him a helpmeet. So he thinks you're his helper. And you may mistakenly think he's your helper. But those are two different roles. And I can't preach too far down that road before you women get upset at me. But that road goes a long ways. It goes in the scriptures you don't never hear pastors say, for the woman was made for the man and not the man for the woman. People don't even meditate what that might mean. And I ain't going there because you ain't ready for it. But just think about it. If I ain't getting no more trouble than I need to get in this series, I got to grow some folks before I can go there, because you be not able to receive what all that means. Because all you hear, no matter what I say, Pastor Cook against women, Pastor Cook a misogynist, Pastor, see what I mean? You ain't ready to receive that. You ain't even care, is it in the world? Let me check and see if scripture. No, you're just mad at me because I said it. So I can't say that to you. I can't go down that road too much. You be not able to receive that. Just like you tell the men about your role. You're a sorry low-down rascal. If you got kids and a wife and you ain't out there, I ain't got no job. Man, you better get a pair of scissors and go start a lawn care service. You go to Walmart, get a pair of children's scissors for 99 cents and start cutting grass. You don't let your family go hungry. What kind of sorry man are you? Talk about, ain't hiring. That job's beneath me. Is poverty beneath you? You do what you need to do to feed and take care of your family. No woman should feel like you won't lay it down for her. And you got sorry men, or baby, you go to work, you make more money. I'm going to just stay home and be Mr. Mom. Get your sorry butt out the house. I ain't talking about you between jobs. You got some money saved up and y'all good. I'm talking about you. You got out for school and you got a little money saved. I'm talking about you could go out and work, but you talk about it's beneath you and your wife and your kids and everybody working but you for the most part. And you sitting at home watching TV. And then she come home and you talk about what's for dinner. That's a sorry man. That ain't no kind of man at all. And they won't tell you that on TV. Or you a player. You out there getting as many girls pregnant. Your Bible says you're out there finding silly women, getting as many girls pregnant, wrecking their life, planting seed like you a farmer. That's a sorry man. Pastor Cook, yeah. No, that ain't no player. That's a fool. That's an ungodly man. But Pastor Cook, I didn't know no better. God forgives you. I'm not holding against you. But if you continue being that, you're an ungodly man. It was ungodly when you did. It's ungodly if you, and if you teach your son to go take advantage of women like that, it's ungodly. And I see guys raising their son to be a player. Some guys, that was back when I was in the city in Detroit where you got a lot of that going on, and you see the way they dress the kid, the way they do, and they take, oh man, go over there, kiss that girl, man. The boy is 4 years old. He need to be kissing on no girl. He ain't got no job. Can't support no woman.
That's right.
12 years old, son, you get some of that? 15 years old, you got some yet? What's wrong with you?
That's right.
If I ask my 15-year-old son, you got some yet? I'm talking about money. You got a job yet? You got some yet? That's what I'm talking about. You got some? And these men borrow money. I ain't talking about you married with your wife because it's our money. I'm talking about you dating. You're like, babe, let me borrow. I want to take you out. Let me borrow some money from you, take you out. I'll pay you back on payday. I'll see you on payday, maybe. You ain't ready to be dating nobody. You don't have no money. How many men can say amen to it costs money to have a woman? Amen. Look at that brother. Yeah. They be pretending like, I just love you for yourself. Yeah. Try not feeding them. Because, you know, women want you to have a little bit of change. Because, and I think a woman should do that. I tell my daughters, do not be dating a man that don't have no J-O-B and don't know G-O-D. The answer is no.
Exactly.
And don't tell me how cute, how nice, how kind, how Christian, his father's a pastor. No. Your daddy would advise you, no. And I ain't saying he a bad guy. I'm just saying that one ain't ripe yet. Let it stay on the tree. He ain't ready to be nobody's husband. He can't even take care of himself. You want a man to take care of you and he can't even take care of himself? You want a woman to submit to you and she can't submit to her father and nobody else? Can't keep a job? That's what singles should be working on, being single and whole. Being single and being mature. Being single and being Christian. And there's people that hadn't reached that. Always having financial problems. Always having that problem. No matter what age they are, always having problems. You need to grow up. You don't need to be focusing on no man. Why isn't God bringing me a man? Why isn't God bringing me a woman? Why aren't I getting married? You're not ready yet, and God loves you enough. He ain't trying to add that stress on your life. Because marriage can be stressful if you don't do it right. It can be very stressful. You're like, oh my gosh, you know, it's like she's just nagging me. He's just doing that. And oh my gosh, I just don't have any peace. I don't have any joy. I've lost my freedom. But that's what you were wanting to run into, to be locked up in that. It's beautiful. It's nothing wrong with being locked up when you like your cellmate. You don't even notice you locked up. I'm glad I'm locked up. She's all mine. I don't want to share with nobody. We're in wedlock. She's mine. But when you locked up with her, you're like, she's mine. Oh, my God. I don't want her, Lord. Lord, he's mine, but I don't want him, Lord. I know I asked you for a man. I should have been a little more specific, Lord. He's a man, but oh, Lord, I don't want him, Lord. Take him back. But see, that's what happened when you get married on lust and infatuation instead of love. Love strengthens over time. Just like I said, I love my wife, I guarantee you, more today than I ever have because we have more history. We have more. And you know what? She's still wonderful. After 32 years of marriage and knowing her for 37 years, I'm still happy I met her. She's still wonderful. I don't regret it. And every year that goes, it just makes it more solid. It just makes it better. Why don't folks stay married? Because they marry for the wrong reasons.
True.
That infatuation gets weaker over time because all that, that kind of fades. Like somebody said, if you get on an amusement park ride and you go a minute and 57 seconds on the fastest roller coaster in the world and you are dating and you're like, this is so much fun. But if they keep you on there for an hour and a half, it's torture. Let me out. Same ride, it just ain't thrilling after a while. It begins to be a form of torture. I'm getting sick. I'm on vomit. Take me out. And that's some people after 4 years of marriage. I'm sick. I want to get out. Same way. I thought you loved all that. Yeah, but it's only that crazy. That you know, that's high maintenance. I need the thrill. I can't live at that high adrenaline level. So eventually, even though they buy me the gifts, even though they do that, it don't mean as much anymore because it seemed like I want more. He did what a boyfriend did. But you need more from a husband. He might buy you gifts with the money he took out your purse. Is it the same thing? He's still buying you gifts. He's still bringing up. He know what you need. He's still caressing your weave and all that. But it ain't going to be the same. Because you're going to be like, hey, did you go out and look for work today? No, but let me caress your weave. Baby, that ain't the same. It don't work like it used to work. Why? Because now you know the whole story. And you don't like what you now know, but he always was that, but you or her did not look at the other person to see that. Because you were in love at first sight. I ain't got to know nothing. I just got to see. And I must be in the depths of love because I see what I like. No, it doesn't exist. No such thing as love at first sight. That's why I'm just pointing up real quick. We've got based on shared experiences and beliefs and attitudes. That's what love. We've had experiences together. We've been through ups and downs, financial hardships, financial successes. Baby's been born, baby's kids. We've been through a whole lot together. We've been through moving 3 different states. We've been through starting ministry. We've been through ups and downs. We've been through ins and outs. I love her. I'm all that and I'm still with her. It wasn't all happy. It wasn't all good. But I still love her because none of it was anything happened between me and her that we would break up over. So love is just deeper because it's been tested. It's been tried in the fire. And it's still standing. It's been purified. The things I see I didn't like if I met her on the first day, it doesn't matter because that's just part of her. But that's beautiful. She sees my faults as part of me. We still love each other. That's when love means something. I love you, not who I think you are. I love you. I know you got bad things, but that's all right. I still love you. That's when it gets beautiful. That's when love is not insisting on its way. That's when love is accepting. You ain't accepting nobody you don't know. You accepting what you think you know about them. You ain't accepting them. You don't even know them. And if you married them when you don't know them, you promise to give what love requires to a person who may be a devil. You are crazy to marry somebody you don't know, talk about love at first sight. That's the wrong reason to get married, folk. That's the wrong reason. Love's not jealous. When you see that mess, that jealousy start, I encourage you never give in to it. If you're dating somebody and get jealous, don't even give in to it at all. Leave if you want to, but I ain't giving in to it. You're going to learn to trust me or we're going to break this thing up right now. Why are you talking to her? Why is she talking to you? I think after church, you ought to just walk away from her. I said, look, she came, he came, they talked to that person, and you tripping over it. There going to be other people in the world. Somebody called from work. Why is she calling you? She called to ask where the report was. Well, why is she calling you at home? Why can't, look, you need to stop. You need to stop that. Don't even give in to it. Okay, you know, don't call me anymore because my wife is all upset. The heck with that. If you got a business call, you got to call me. Call me. Wife, straighten up. Stop being crazy. If you don't trust me, leave now. If I have I done something wrong that you shouldn't trust me? Have I shown myself untrustworthy? Then trust me or leave, because I don't even want to be in a relationship where I trust, because that feels horrible. My wife would feel horrible if I said, why are you talking to brother so-and-so over there? He had a question about the usher thing. He need to talk to me. He don't need to be talking to you. Why am I talking about my wife? What's wrong? Ain't nothing wrong with them. There's something wrong with you. I trust my wife. I don't have any problem. I don't have to watch who's with my wife or who she's talking to, or if she was at work somewhere, who talked to her. When she was a nurse and she was at the hospital and she's looking all cute and everything and her little white nursing dress and doctors in there looking at my young, cute wife and they making 10 times the money I make. And I could be like, you know, it's like, and she come home and say, oh, Dr. So-and-so said so-and-so. I could be like, hey, you know, ain't like the devil didn't try this. Because kind of like, hold up, you know, she all cute and everything, you know. And I went like, devil, I ain't playing that game with you either. And if you have any insecurity at all, you're going to show out. Now, I'm not an insecure person. So the thought came, but no seed grew from that. There is no love without commitment. I'm committed to love her. I'm believing she's committed to love me, but I have to trust that she will love me. The husband trusts in his wife, the Bible says in Proverbs. My wife's not the kind of woman to be stepping out on me and doing all that, so I don't have to look on my back. I don't do none of that. I'm not the kind of guy that's going to be stepping out on her. Any woman that don't recognize what this means and tries to make a play to me, I'm going to look at her and say, you are a whore. Get away from me. Why would I be stupid enough to be even interested in a woman that won't respect the ring that's on my finger? Do you think that's a godly woman who's coming to you trying, Pastor, you know the way you preach is so good. I just feel, woo. Pastor, I need a man like you. How get a man like you, Pastor? I want a man like you, Pastor. I would be a good woman to a man like you. No, you would be a whore because a man like me is married. And you ain't seeing that. So you'd be a whore. Now, I probably wouldn't say it to your face. I'd wait till you turn your back. But I... I would think it. I definitely would think it. I ain't going to lie. I would think like, what is wrong with her? And I go tell my wife, do you know so-and-so? I don't know what's wrong with her. Again, the other one, what is infatuation based on? What is lust based on? Physical attraction, popularity, status. Oh, man, she look good. Oh, he's handsome. Look at those biceps. Oh, he's on the football team. If I'm with him, then I'm popular because he's in a popular group. Oh, man, that guy's got money. If I can date, that's going to bring me up. That's what infatuation is based on. None of that's love, because you ain't even looking at the person. You're looking at what you can get from the person. That's the thing about infatuation. It's not paying attention to the person. That love at first sight is not paying attention to the person. It's a feeling you got. You're paying total attention to what you feel. Can wait for sex. And that's a good test there, because God said there should be no sex out of marriage. It is a great test whether a man loves you or whether he loves himself and your body to say no. We are not married. We are Christians. Let's not do that. And I know that's tough because everything in the world is saying flesh out, flesh out, flesh out. But you have to be spiritual enough to say no. I will keep my virgin until I get married, it says. Miss Cook and I did not have sex till our honeymoon night. Kept the sweetness in the honeymoon. Wasn't trying out the shoes to see if they fit. As I told one guy, I thought, well, Pastor, you know, it's like, you know, when I buy some shoes, I like to try them on. I said, I don't ever go shopping for used shoes either, though. So it's like, there's two sides to that coin. If you got equipment that works, and she got equipment to work, you can work that equipment. Love wants what's best for the other person. Love does not insist on his own way. So when I was dating my wife, I said, look, we ain't going to do nothing to get nobody pregnant, nor require a prophylactic. I was taught not to be dropping seed all over the world like you're a farmer. You ain't married. Don't be planting in no fields. I was taught that that's disrespectful to the woman. That's disrespectful to yourself. And I was taught in church that is sin. And how can I sin against my God? It's not a matter of whether I want you. Infatuation is part of a relationship. I do want you, but I love you enough that I'm going to do what's best for you and what's best for me, and we're going to wait. Whereas that person who is carnal, infatuated, and full of lust, baby, I love you so much I can't keep my hands off. That man is showing you that he don't have self-control, or vice versa, that woman keep pulling your zipper down. She's showing you she don't have self-control. I'm telling men and women both the same. Don't play games with yourself or you may get in a situation. You got to be careful about that. We're going to stop there. We're finished with the first point. Did you learn anything about there ain't no such thing as love at first sight, folks? There's no such thing as love at first sight. All that is infatuation. Infatuation is normal. I didn't say it's sinful or it's wrong. I just said don't get married on it. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we thank you for the word as always. I thank you for the single people that are here, Father. I thank you for the married people who have heard this, who have children and have relatives and friends and nieces and nephews. I pray that they'll take this wisdom and they can share it, Father. They can instill it in the people they love so that they will not be blinded by the eyes of the devil to fall into a hurtful marriage, Father. I thank you so much that marriages are becoming more and more Christian all the time, that saints are having sweeter and sweeter marriages. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.